Tom, I was looking at Ethan Bear, A, for contracts. I was trying to look at some recent ones. And, you know, one-year deals doesn't look like a lot of money for him. You just base it on Travis Dermott as well as, you know, Victor Mete. Although Dermott's, you know, probably a closer comparison. Bear comes in maybe a little bit higher, so maybe $1 million on a one-year deal. And on a three-year deal, I'm not sure if you've seen Gavrikov or not out of Columbus at 2.8 and pretty similar numbers overall to Ethan Bear. Bear played a little bit more minutes, but I think Ethan Bear's minutes are going to come down when I look at Adam Larson and Tyson Barrie and how much they played, because all like last year in the National Hockey League, Ethan Bear, Tyson Barrie, and Adam Larson, all right shot defensemen, were all in the top 57 D-men for five-on-five ice time. So Ethan Bear's minutes are coming down, and that's not a bad thing. I think it might actually be a good thing, but like, I he's probably not in a great position right now to bargain for a contract. What do you think?
The minutes coming down, and you articulate it well in the article, it's not so much a bad thing at all, no. And I agree with that wholeheartedly, because he's going into his second full season. You know, the sophomore jinx, I don't know if you want to call it that, but there is, it's a tough go. It's not always easy for defensemen in their second full season. And you hope as an Oiler fan and us watching him that, you know, the Ethan Bear doesn't necessarily go through that tough second full season, but it's a possibility. And he handles peaks and valleys pretty well. He proved it last year. And you're right. If he wants to go on a one-year deal, then he's probably not going to be bringing in as much dough as if you were to look at a longer-term deal. And Gavrikov, that's a good way to compare Ethan Bear to Gavrikov and say, okay, we'll invest in your future and we'll give you a couple of extra seasons and a little bit more money. But if he really ramps it up and becomes a go-to defenseman for the Oilers, which he could, it's absolutely possible. He's shown some great signs. Then, you know, he might be coming in at getting a bit of a value deal there. So it's that trade-off. It's the balance. You hit on the frozen salary cap and how that affects things. And this will be interesting. I like the fact that he's going to be somewhat insulated on that right side. And then the other idea that you threw out there is that there are young up-and-coming defensemen in the Oilers pipeline that are going to push Ethan Bear, and he's not going to be just automatically relied upon as the de facto guy on the right side when you need some offense. Barry's there for the season at least. Bouchard's on his way up. Brober can slide over to the right side. Give him a little bit of time as well. But you're right. This is a rare case where, in terms of leverage and negotiating, Bear maybe doesn't have the leg up. So this will be interesting, Gregs. It really will be.
Yeah, well, I looked at Ethan Bear. Ethan Bear had the most offensive zone starts amongst the Oilers' blue liners last season. I don't see him coming close to that with Tyson Barrie. And like Tyson Barrie's a more proven offensive-minded player at the NHL level. And you know what? I think that's kind of what they brought him here for. He's obviously going to get Klefbom's minutes on the power play, no question about it. So, you know, Caleb Jones's minutes are obviously going to go up. Chris Russell might have to go up a little bit more. But like, I see the Oilers defense outside of Darnell Nurse because of his size, and he plays on the penalty kill and he's on the second unit power play. You know, Darnell Nurse is likely the guy whose minutes will stay the same. Bears could come down. Barry's probably similar to what we've seen in the past. They might go up slightly because he'll play so much on the power play here in Edmonton compared to what he did in Toronto last year. But I think Jones is up. Bear's going to come down a little bit, and Russell, I guess, depends how he plays.
Yeah. It's going to be interesting to watch, too, the development of Jones. And I know, you know, we were kind of hitting on the Klefbom Benning as opposed to Barry Jones thing, Yumi and Strutty. And I think you were going at it with Button on that as well. But it's going to be kind of something that I keep my eyes on is what they do with Jones and how he handles everything that Ethan Bear went through last year in his first full season in the National Hockey League. Can he be a guy that plays upwards of 15-plus minutes a night? He's shown some good signs, Gregs. He really has, but he hasn't done it consistently yet at that level. So we'll see. And if you've got some decent balance and the way you distribute your minutes on the back end and you're not wearing guys out, I know Klefbom was a 25-minute-a-night guy. He was on PK. He was on the power play.
If you got more balance and you're conserving some of their energy and they can stay sharper and fresher throughout the course of a 60-plus minute game, I think that's a good situation overall. So if Bear comes down, fine. You give more time to Barry, and if you can rely on Jones, that's a good scenario. You've got a Russell, he's a veteran player. You're going to be okay. If there's good balance, I think that's another good problem among the many good problems that we seem to see with the Oilers going into this next season whenever it starts.
Tom Gazzola joins us on Edmonton Sports Leader TSN 1260. Tommy, what do you make of round one of the Masters?
Good round for Tiger, that's for sure. His best round, I think, best first round at the Masters since 2010. And, you know, I like what he did, and the comparisons there to Jack with the age and his world ranking and the 23 years since his first major. It's just crazy how sometimes the stars align. We'll see if that continues. I will give a hat tip to Bryson DeChambeau. He had a decent round, although there were a few shots where he went heavy on one. I can't remember what hole it was, but his approach was heavy, and I was like, yeah, there you go. And then he had a tough go out of the rough after an errant tee shot. He was actually pretty gracious and honest and forthcoming in his post-round interview, and I was like, okay, you know, credit where credit is due. I know I was a little harsh on him yesterday, but the mad scientist continues to do his thing. We'll see how he progresses throughout the weekend. And it's almost fitting in 2020 that we had a rain delay to start this thing this morning. Just insane. All the storylines coming together this weekend, Greg. So I'll be intrigued. I've got my TV on. I'm glued to it, too.
Oh, okay. I look forward to it. It should be a lot of fun. And Paul Casey with a sizzling 65 is in the clubhouse with a 2-stroke lead. Tom Gazzola joins us on Edmonton Sports Leader TSN 1260. It's interesting. Like the Houston Texans, I can't recall a time a team just got obliterated for letting go their PR person.
This is interesting because it's not just coming from, you know, the players who had their favorite PR person. It's coming from, like, top-level media and other people around the National Football League that are discussing this. And, you know, it's one thing. Her name is Amy Palsik, by the way. She was in charge of the PR for the Texans. You know, we've dealt with all sorts of media people around the National Hockey League, sometimes and CFL as well, and sometimes you deal with PR people from other leagues, and it's not often that you find someone who is just renowned for being top-notch to deal with, pleasant to deal with. You can catch PR people on bad days. You know, we as media have bad days as well, and sometimes it's high stakes. But this is intriguing because, the Texans are, it just seems like they're in a free fall as an organization, on the field, off the field. I mean, that DeAndre Hopkins deal for David Johnson, my goodness, thank you, Bill O'Brien, who's no longer with the Texans as a Cardinals fan, like, thank you so much because Hopkins is amazing. And it just seems like the Texans are falling into this abyss. And when they gas a PR executive and the reaction from everybody is this quick and the messaging is the same, I think that's a big-time tell as to where the Texans are going as an organization. I mean, how often, Gregs, have we seen stories about PR people? Very rarely, right? These are people that don't want to be in front of stories. They want to be behind the scenes. Just to see that reaction, to me, says a lot, actually.
Yeah, it's kind of amazing. A lot of people, former players, even ripping the Texans, who use the not a fit for our culture excuse for that one. So that'll be something to definitely watch for. Also, you look at Mookie Betts And, hey, the guy's winning a lot of money. Like, where? I don't know. Like, Tommy, I know that you're very into fashion. And, clearly, like, you sent me this link, and I'm like, are you really – do you follow homes that pro athletes buy?
I'm curious. I mean, he bought Chip Kelly's old place, and the price was $7.6 million. We know Mookie Betts is – the star of the Dodgers, and he signed a monster deal. I'm always intrigued because, you know, these lavish homes, that's not something I would ever really want. I prefer a little more modesty myself, but like seeing a basketball court in there, I would love to have like a chipping and putting green in my backyard if and when the time comes to have a home. But like theater rooms, I find those really cool. Like I would love to have a video game room in a theater room, that type of thing. But it's interesting just to see, you know, this connection in the sports world, and one guy buys so-and-so's home, makes some modifications to it. To me, it's really interesting. So Chip Kelly, you know, he was in the NFL for a while. I think he's at UCLA right now. He was with Oregon. I mean, coaches in NCAA football just make monster money. And then, of course, Mookie Betts is, like we said, a superstar making tons of dough. I find it interesting. Like, what would you do if you were all of a sudden bestowed with, like, millions of dollars and you could have your dream home? Like, what creature feature would you go for?
Ooh, that's a good question.
Right,
We built our home, and I had – it's not something that I really think about, to be honest. I thought putting a gym in my house is, like, the greatest thing I've ever done, and it's not very big of a gym, but I really enjoy it. You know what? I would probably want to have, like, a theater room, like, with, you know, really comfortable couches, some raised seating so people could sit behind you, and everybody had a perfect vantage point. So, you know, with surround sound built in, so you made it, like, a movie or sporting room to watch events. That's probably would be the one thing I'd really want.
With a beer tap in that room, how perfect would that be? And like a popcorn machine.
Popcorn. Okay, now I see what you're saying. I'd have to think a little bit more about that. Well, definitely you're going to have a beer fridge to keep some stuff cold, no question about it. I don't know if I want a beer tap because I don't really like kegs. I find they're too, get too gassy drinking keg beer. So
right.
I would probably want just more like a fridge so I can stock it with lots of different choices for people, right? Just have like the ultimate beer where they come in, you want beer, great. You want some of those, vodkas in a can, sodas, neutrals, whatever. Maybe you want some rum, some rye for the odd person who drinks wine. Although, do you really drink wine in a sporting event? We can have a whole conversation about that. I think would be good. And I would, you know, now that you think about it, I would probably want to have like a, with a lock on it, but you could open the door and there'd be like a choice of suites. Because to me, when we sit down and watch a movie, I need like whether it's some licorice or, you know, a bag of chips, I like to have something. So I would want to have that right there, you know, and stock it up and then just leave it there. So when people came over, they could pick and choose what they were going to eat while they watched.
Oh, I'm right there with you, Greg. That's a great idea.
What about you?
Well, I definitely go with the putting and chipping area for sure. Hot tubs, I know those are pretty common. I like those. What else would I want in there? I don't know. I think I would need, like, you know, future Mrs. Gazzola, the house could be hers, but I just need office / you know, prototypical man cave where I can just have my stuff, work area, and I could be in my own corner of a home and quiet. And I would just have memorabilia and all my work stuff in there. And that's really all I'd ask for. I think that, to me, would be the best. And I know, I think there's a lot of people, you know, we grew up with backyard rinks and skating at community outdoor rinks. But I remember Ryan Smith, the place he had before he left for Nashville, he had like a really good size full-on backyard rink with like boards and glass. And I think maybe Fernando Pisani might have one. I'd have to ask him if I see him at the rink, if and when we get there anytime soon. But some guys
An outdoor rink would be good. I'll say this. It's something that probably not a lot of people think about. Our home builder recommended it to them, and now I think it's the greatest thing ever. In my garage, we have grates. So when I sweep the floor, now I sweep it first, but then when I clean the floor, there's a grate. It's unbelievable. It makes it so much better.
Yeah.
For anything, I would recommend to anyone, if they ever build a home, put a grate in your garage. You will not regret it. It was the greatest thing I've ever had.
I would do a steam room, too. That's the other one. I love a good steam.
Yeah, we have a sauna.
Oh, phenomenal.
We have an infrared sauna, a little small one. So it's hot.
Amazing.
Hot. Tommy, have yourself a good one. Now, who did you pick to win the Masters?
I'm going with DJ.
Oh, yeah. I
haven't followed him much, but I'm going with DJ. I'll just go with DJ. Keep it simple.
Nah.
Hey, shout out to Mike Weir.
Really going out on a limb there. I like it.
Yeah.
DJ, by the way, is I think he was two. Well, he's just finishing up on the third. I think he's 2 under through 4 holes right now. So,
yeah.
Not a bad start. Not a bad start at all. So. It'll be fun. Yeah, Mike Weir. Yeah, good -2 today for Weir.
Yeah.
It's good to see. Tommy, we will chat with you tomorrow. Enjoy the rest of the Masters.
Adam May.